I want to read a text here in the book of Hebrews, beginning with chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read a few verses in the beginning of the chapter, and then I'll skip over, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. But in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For from his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundation and whose builder and maker is God. Now, we'll leave off the reading at verse 10, but skip over now to the end of the chapter. And I want to begin reading with verse number 32. What the Holy Spirit of God has done, and I believe Paul is the author of Hebrews, he has talked about all of these great soldiers of the faith, these great men and women of faith in days gone by. And he summarizes it in verse number 32 and following. And what shall we say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want us to bow together for a word of prayer this morning and ask God's blessing. Thank you for being here. We are so appreciative for you being in the service this morning. And we have a good number of folk I know who are away, but yet we've got a great crowd here today. And it's my prayer that God will speak to all of our hearts together. And then for the great radio audience and for those in the internet audience, and we are thankful for your participation as well. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God to move. I want to thank you, our Father, for that which is real. That our Father, heaven's real and hell is real. Thank you that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and suffered and bled and died that we might live for all eternity in a place called heaven. Father, again, I want to thank you for all of those brave Americans, our Father, who many have given the ultimate sacrifice, and they've died in foreign lands and around this world that we might be free. Thank you, our Father, for the Holy Spirit of God, for speaking to hearts of the dear saints of God in days gone by, who were soldiers of the cross, Lord, who have held high the blood-stained banner of Christ, our Father, who carried the gospel to the far reaches of the world. And Father, because of their faithfulness and their surrender and their sacrifice, we are here today in America, the free land that was purchased by the blood of our faithful men and women in arms. And our Father, we have a home in heaven because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've heard the gospel message because of the faithful soldiers of the cross. And our Father, today, at the same time we honor our military personnel, we also honor our Father, the soldiers of the cross of days gone by. And because of their great sacrifice, we have a wonderful heritage and the great privilege of hearing the gospel and of being in this place and worshiping you. And many, our Father, in this building and in the radio and internet audience have trusted Jesus Christ because of the great heritage of the saints of God of days gone by and their faithfulness. Now, God, help me. God, give me your anointing power. Help me to be a blessing to God's people, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you realize that, of course, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we recognize and remember the sacrifice of families, as we've just talked about. I was doing a little research and looking, of course, the first or the special declaration of Memorial Day, May 5th, 1866, was in Waterloo, New York, and it was a memorial service or a honoring service for those who died in the Civil War, both Confederate and Union troops, those Native sons who had in conflict died. Some 214,000 died in battle during the Civil War. Researchers still are counting. The accounting system was not all that accurate, and even the death toll's probably higher. And related in the Civil War, not just the 214 people who actually were counted as casualties on the battlefield, but there were some 600,000 people all total that they have kept historical records that were not on the battlefield but were casualties to the war. And what an awesome price was paid for that conflict here in this nation. But as we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, if you go all the way back and you think about the Revolutionary War and our freedom in 1776, in the Revolutionary War, there were 25,000 people, soldiers, who died in that conflict that we might obtain liberty. And we celebrate that, of course, on July the 4th. And we thank God for the fact that we have this free land, a democracy that we've... But, you know, I got to thinking as I've looked through these figures, those people who died never experienced the freedom that you and I have. And they were not there for the celebrations after the end of the war for independence. They gave a sacrifice. They never enjoyed the benefit of that. And then when you come down through time and you think about those that, of course, involved in the Civil War, but there were so many others, the Spanish-American War, World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, now Iraq and Afghanistan. And when you think about those totals, and I kind of tried to find some, and there's so many different in totals, but it up until recent days, so almost 900,000 American men and women have died in war to give us our freedom. You think about that. Almost 900,000 total deaths related in war of American citizens, those who were actually on the battlefield and off the main line, front lines. Something over 1,300,000 people have died that you and I might have freedom. In Iraq alone, over 6,648 have died, and a large number as well in Afghanistan. The totals have continued to mount, and we don't know all the totals. But then you think about all the other people who've died, even in peacetime here, who give us our freedom. The eternal vigilance of our military personnel around the world are in jeopardy. Just this past week, the British soldier who died on the streets, just walking down the street. And we've had so many die in the coal incident, Beirut, and all those other places in what we call peacetime, men and women who've given their lives so that you and I could be free. And the totals are astounding when you think about all those who've died and the people who gave that ultimate sacrifice. Back when we went with Brother Tony and Taranda on the trip a few years ago, the bus trip up, we went up in through Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C., and then on up into New York. But in Washington, D.C., we toured, saw some of the monuments there. But one thing Brother Tony wanted to do while he was there, he had a wreath laid there in Arlington in honor of his daddy. And we went and watched at the tomb of the unknown soldier, those soldiers there who marched continuously 24 hours a day in spite of all the storms, rain. They never leave. They're always there. They're there to honor that fallen friend. And the words that are inscribed there, "He rests in honored glory, an American soldier known but to God." My dear friend, of the totals that I've just shared with you, there are probably thousands of others we don't know. And when I went to Germany in 1994, Regina and I went and I preached in military churches in Germany. And we went to Luxembourg. We saw the largest cemetery outside of the United States for American soldiers. And it seemed as if an endless sea of white crosses. And I walked through there and I saw these young men. I'm talking about 18, 19 years of age, who left Alabama, North Carolina, and South Carolina, and North Dakota in these United States, left and never came home. They never even got back here. They're buried on foreign soil. And our hearts went out, and I thought, thank God, as I stood there, and I thanked the Lord for somebody who was willing to die that I might have that the freedom we enjoy today. Let's don't take it lightly, and let's enjoy it, and let's praise God for it. But honor those who serve, and thank the Lord. And take every opportunity you can to recognize the veterans and to greet them and to thank them for what they've done. And I thank the Lord for that. And then as I have looked and read this passage of Scripture, I thank the Lord for this land, but I thank the Lord for heaven. And there are people who've given their lives in death that you and I might have everlasting life. I begin just to think about a few of those between the year, the birth of our Lord and his adulthood, about 30 A.D., and then on up into the first few hundred years of the church. John the Baptist was beheaded. The Lord Jesus Christ himself gave his life a ransom and died on the cross. Stephen was stoned. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark was dragged through the streets and died. Luke was hanged. Peter and Simon were crucified. Andrew was tied to a cross and killed. James was beheaded. Philip was crucified and stoned. Bartholomew was flayed. They literally skinned him to death, and he bled to death. Thomas was pierced with a lance. James was thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude was shot with arrows and killed. Matthias was stoned. Paul was beheaded. During the early days of the church, the first 500 years of the church, some 50 million Christians died a martyr's death, those who loved the Lord and were faithful to God. And the number continues to rise as I think back through history and look at the numbers. They too are astounding at how many Christians have died and given their life. I think of John Knox in Scotland, and I think of John Bunyan. Outside of the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress for many, many years was the number two selling book in all the whole world. It was written by a preacher named John Bunyan, who spent years in prison, 12 years in Belfort, Germany, in Belfort, Scotland, in jail, Ireland, in jail because of preaching the gospel. During that time, he had so many horrible things to happen to his family, but he was there sacrificing that you and I might have life. John Wesley and others who have blazed the trail, and John Calvin had preached the gospel. John Wycliffe, who was burned at the stake, and as he died, he prayed, and he said, God, open the King of England's eyes. All he wanted to do was make the Bible available to us in the English language, and he was burned at the stake because of that. Then also, there's another one that I think about. Savannah Rolla was burned to death. John Huss was burned at the stake. Zwingli died in England, and he was put to death. Many others have died. Over the years, in Russia, the numbers are amazing. The number through the communist regime, some 50,000 at least Christians were put to death in Germany because of communism. And those people gave their life simply because of what you believe, what I believe. Add to that the number of missionaries who died on the field. Our dear brother Kerry Watkins, who he and his wife have served the Lord so many years, God spoke to their heart through the death of some young men, Jim Elliott and Nate Saint, who went down to minister to the Inca Indians, and they were killed by those Indians. And you know, many of you have who hear Christian radio, you hear Elizabeth Elliott, that's Jim Elliott's wife. She stayed in that place where they had killed her husband and carried on the mission work. Now, there are many of those who are saved. And matter of fact, one of the chiefs that was responsible for killing those missionaries got saved and became a pastor because of the sacrifice of those blood of those dear men. And my dear friend, not those that we know about historically, Christians who gave their life, But across the years, there have been thousands of Christians who've died. Today, there are Christians who die. Brother Jim White and Brother Scott Hefner and some others went just a few years ago, 2 years ago now, into India. And while they were there, they went into a village where there were several Christians who'd been killed and their bodies burned by radical Islam. Just because they were Christians, they were killed. That goes on every day somewhere around the world. People just like me and you who believe the same thing you and I believe. And they died and they paid the price. Here in this wonderful building today, this beautiful place that you have here, back years ago, these dear friends who paid such an ultimate price, they were faithful to God. They were put to death, many of them. But because of their faithfulness, others were saved. Others came to know Christ. And my dear friend, the blood of the martyrs has been that miracle growth that has caused God's people to grow some. I think about these dear soldiers of the cross. And this morning, I want to say five things about them, and we'll be ready to go quickly. Number one, in this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 11, it's called the heroes of the faith. And there are five things I want to note about them. Number one, I want you to note their faith. This chapter begins with the subject of faith, and it talks about faith. And then all of these individuals, the one thing that puts them all together is their faith. The dear saints of God, a day's gone by, and you and I are part of that heritage. You and I are now the soldiers that are on duty. You and I are now the sentinels of the faith. And they had faith. They had faith, first of all, in the Word of God. I've been reading devotionally and preaching through the book of Acts and other books of the New Testament. And I've always noticed it, but I haven't noted it. And you're the same way, probably. As I've gone through and began to read, and I listen, and I read about Paul, and I read about Peter and all those men, I begin to note their quoting of Old Testament scriptures. And I shared that with the church not long ago in a passage of Scripture in the book of Acts, 23 different verses. 11 of those verses are Old Testament quotes that were quoted by the Apostle Peter. Almost half of what he preached was Scripture, and they had faith in the Word of God. And you and I need to recognize that this Bible is true. It is the Word of God, and we need to read it and study it and sacrifice for it. My dear friend, Brother Gary Snow and some others went up into the Ukraine some time ago and gave out Bibles. And Brother Gary was telling us about the dear lady who was begging for a Bible, and the village chief there ran them out, wouldn't let them give out the Bibles, wouldn't even let them give out food. And they wanted so desperately, they were crying out for Bibles. And Brother Gary said they slipped around and where the official couldn't see it, and they laid a copy of the Bible on a stump. And Brother Gary said as they were leaving, having been driven out by the officials, he saw an old woman pick up that Bible, and she kissed it, and she waved at them, and she loved the Bible. My dear friend, around this world, there are those who don't have a Bible, and they have just pieces of Bible, and they treasure it, and they love it, and they read on it, they feed on it. It's the Bible that has fueled the faith of those in days gone by that caused me and you to be here. And we've got them laid on coffee tables. We've got them laid everywhere else. And we don't read the Bible. We'll watch the news and read the paper and everything else. But my dear friend, you just need to get in this book. Saturate your soul. They had faith in the Word of God. It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They had faith in the Word of God. But they had faith in the work of God. They knew what God had done in giving His dear Son. And my dear friend, salvation is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And Tim quoted a great verse, saying that he'd heard in school, and it was a blessing. But now, dear friend, listen, it's not what we do, but it's what Christ has already done. And they had confidence in the work of Christ. And they believed that Jesus Christ had died to save sinners. And they believed that if you preach the gospel, people could be saved. People could be saved. I remember a story years ago of two men walking down the street. One was a preacher and one was a soap salesman, a manufacturer of soap. And when this man was walking along, the soap salesman, he was talking to the preacher, and he said, "Your gospel's no good. Look at all the sin in this community. There's sin everywhere around here. Your gospel is no good. You're wasting your time preaching the gospel." They hadn't gone very far, and they saw two little children playing in the gutter. They looked like little pigs. They were dirty from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And the preacher said to the man, "Your soap is no good. Your soap's no good. Look how dirty these people are in this city. They're filthy dirty." He said, "Oh," he said, "yes, but," he said, "you've got to wash them. They've got to apply the soap. And if they apply the soap, they can be clean." And he said, "Exactly. the gospel does work. If you preach the gospel and people believe the gospel, some will accept it, and those who accept it, they're washed from all of their sin and they have a home in heaven. And those dear saints of God, days gone by, they had a confidence in the work of God. They believed that God could do all things. Paul said, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And he said this, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. They had confidence in the Word of God. They had a faith in the Word of God, but they had a faith in the work of God. Listen, if what we are facing today, and all the turmoil in this nation, and all the changes going on in your society, and everything going on, if you focus on that, you'll be the most discouraged crowd in the world. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He said, set your affection on things of heaven. Look toward heaven, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's able, and God's able to do things. He still works. He still saves souls. Listen, my wife called me in last night, and she said, I want you to listen to something. And she read it for me. She didn't have my glasses. She read it off the internet, his response to the highway shepherd. And it says this, I live in Vanceboro, North Carolina, and I attend West Vanceboro Church of God. I wanted to let you know about something that happened last Sunday evening in Alabama. My niece lives just outside Montgomery, and her husband died after having a lung transplant. He was a fine Christian man and left no doubt about where he would spend eternity. I also have a nephew, the brother of the niece, who is a truck driver and lives in Windsor, North Carolina. After the visitation last Sunday evening, my wife, my sister, and I were going to the Pizza Hut, and my nephew, Jimmy, asked if he could come along. Once we got to the restaurant, Jimmy started asking questions regarding tithing and then start talking about some CDs that he'd picked up at a truck stop somewhere around Dunn, North Carolina. It was evident that he'd been listening to them because of the things he told us about them. He then asked us if we thought that Ellis had really gone to heaven, to which we assured him that we were sure that he was enjoying a new life with Jesus. My sister asked Jimmy if he had ever accepted the Lord as his Savior, to which he replied, no. She asked him if he wanted to do that now, and he said yes. And I slipped over beside him and began to pray, and then asked him to join me to repeat the sinner's prayer. Afterwards, when we looked up, tears were running down Jimmy's cheek. His entire countenance had changed, and he was glowing. I just wanted to let you know that your CDs had put a plan in motion that culminated in a lost soul receiving Christ. Thank you so much for your ministry and what it evidently means to a lot of truckers. May God bless you. I want you to know he's still on the throne and he's still able to save to the uttermost. They had faith in God's work. I can't do that. You can't do that, but God can. God can still save sinners. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. But not only do they have faith in God's word and faith in God's work, but my dear friend, they had faith in God's wisdom. I can't understand some things. I read about Paul and how faithful he was, and yet he died. We saw graphically portrayed Peter, an apostle who walked with Jesus, Peter who was used on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls got saved, and he was crucified. I'm talking about real nails. I'm talking about real agony, real pain, and died that humiliating death. He died a martyr's death. But you know what those people did? My dear friend, those early saints of God, they trusted the wisdom of God. I don't understand why things happen. I don't understand why people have to suffer. I can't put a finger on it. But they trusted the wisdom of God. He doesn't make any mistakes. We know that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. He could keep us from difficult days, but he may not let us do that. You and I in America one day may have to pay the ultimate sacrifice, as so many have done on the battlefield for our country, for your faith. It may cost you your life. And I pray that God would give me boldness. I pray that I can have faith in the will of God and in the wisdom of God. And whatever comes my way, your way, that we'll trust that. But not only do I note their faith this morning, I note their faithfulness. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and he said he challenged young Timothy to commit to faithful men those truths that he learned. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus said this. He challenges that church, and he said, be faithful unto death. And my dear friend, these dear people who I've talked about this morning, thousands upon thousands of them who gave their life for the gospel were faithful to the very end, for the very end. Somebody said, well, I'll die for Christ. It's not a matter if you'll die for him, but will you live for him? Do you have enough boldness to live for him and to testify for him and to live a life in front of your schoolmates and work associates and family and to be faithful to Jesus Christ in all that he does? I remember several years ago, I read a humorous story of a dear old lady, and it was during the Civil War, and she happened to live in the South. And the Yankees were advancing, the Union troops were advancing. She knew that they were coming into her little farm area. Some family members gathered around, and the troops were gone. The men were all gone. She grabbed a fire poker and ran out. And they said, Granny, you can't defeat them. They've got guns and everything else, and you can't defeat them with a fire poker. She said, I'm not interested in defeating them. I just want to know whose side I'm on. My dear friend, listen, you're in a world that's under the condemnation of God, but I'm glad, my dear friend, we have the wonderful commission to rescue the perishing and care for the dying, and he's looking for some faithful men and women who'll be faithful to the house of God, faithful to the things of God, and not throw in the towel, not give up, but keep on going. They were faithful, but notice their fightings, not only their faith and their faithfulness, but their fightings. In the book of Ephesians, Brother Jimmy was led to ask several of the men of the church to share from Ephesians about the armor. And Paul makes this statement. I'll not take time to read it for sake of time. But Paul says right in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. My dear friend, every saint of God who's ever lived fought the same battle. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And my dear friend, we are fighting a spiritual battle. Our enemies are not those in Afghanistan or Iran or Russia. Those are dear souls for whom Jesus loved and died. And the gospel will reach to any person, regardless of their race, regardless of who they are, regardless of what kind of climate they were raised in. Jesus Christ will save sinners. Our battle is not with people, but it's with principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against Satan himself. And my dear friend, those dear friends that you see and that I see, I got deeply convicted some time ago. I won't tell you all the circumstance. But I saw some people in a certain place, and my first response was that of disgust. And I had some things in my own mind and heart I was saying they just this, that, and the other, and sorry, and so on. They ought to do this and that. And then the Holy Ghost of God checked me, and he said, I died for them too. And my dear friend, you know what? You and I ought to have a burden for lost souls, and the fighting is not with people. It's with the powers of darkness. And these individuals who died, I think about Stephen. Stephen knew that those people who stoned him to death as they crucified our Lord, he said he knew that it was a spiritual battle. And he did the same thing Jesus did when Stephen was dying as they stoned him. He said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Listen, our battle is not with people, regardless of who they are, where they're from, but with the powers of darkness. My dear friend, you and I have that battle. And we'll have to fight it not with earthly means, but with spiritual means through prayer and our surrender to Christ and putting on the whole armor of God. But quickly, will you look with me, please, in Hebrews chapter 11 again? I want you to notice their finish, not only their faith and their faithfulness and their fightings, but notice their finish. It says in verse 39, these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about that promise of a new world. In the kingdom. But I note this, they obtained a good report. They all died in faith. They obtained a good report through faith. They're finished. They finished like they started, by faith. And they were faithful to God. And they got a good report. Oh, not from CNN News, or not from Who's Who in America, not from the society they lived in. They didn't get a good report from them. They were considered to be heretics or idiots or dummies or radicals or holy rollers. The good report didn't come from the world. It came from the Savior. And my dear friend, I'd rather have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than anything this world could say about me. My dear friend, these all died in faith. They're finished. They finished like they started in faith. They stayed faithful to the very end, to the very end. I've known people like that, hadn't you? I've known people like that. I was thinking about Ms. Doris Barber. Oh, Brother Don and I were talking about her little home over here. As long as I was in this church, from the time I came until the time I left, over there in the old building and right there where Ms. Judy's at, Ms. Doris Barber was always there. She ended up just like she started, faithful to the end, faithful to the end. I don't know how many of you stayed up at 2 o'clock this morning watching the ball game. I didn't. By 12 o'clock, I didn't care who won. I just went to bed. But my dear friend, they played at 2 o'clock this morning. And I was thinking this morning, I was talking with somebody back at JB, I think, and I was thinking about when I went to see the Seminoles play one time, 85,000 people filled that stadium that day. And we had Bob Uecker seats. We were up in the tippy top. And I looked down and I saw this man. He's frail, little frail man. Man, he had garnet and gold, the colors of the Seminole from top to bottom, way down there. Just looked like a stick figure almost, so small down there. And I said, he's probably a life member, and he's got a box seat somewhere. I watched that old man. He went up the concourse, went back and two, back and two. It probably took him 20 minutes. And I said, to be sure. I said, he's done forgot where he's supposed to be sitting at. Not so. He came up and he sat two rows right in front of me, way up in the top of that stadium. And it was hot. When I got up there, I was sucking air. I was in soaking wet the time I got there. And that old man walked up there. And I looked at him. I said, buddy, I said, that was a long walk today, wasn't it? He said, it's a long walk every Saturday. He didn't miss. He was always there. He was faithful. He was faithful. My dear friend, these folk right here were faithful to the very end. You say, Brother Bitter, what's going to happen to America? It's coming to an end. What's going to happen to the world? It's coming to an end. But you know what? I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be faithful as long as I can live. As long as God lets me live, I want to be faithful. I want you to look one last thing. I'm through. I know it's a little bit after 12. Notice in chapter 12 of Hebrews, not only their faith, and their faithfulness, and the fightings they go through, and their finish. I want you to notice their following. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. They're following. Paul said this, all of these dear saints of God in days gone by, you know what they're doing now? They're like a great cloud of witnesses all around us. They're cheering us on. They're saying, be faithful. That don't give in. Don't give up. Don't compromise. Stay with the Bible. Preach the blood. Preach the blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. Believe that Jesus is able. Be faithful to the very end. They're following. Here we are right now. Here we are right now. You and I on this last leg of the race, we're what God's got to work with in these last days. You and I, soldiers of the cross, let's don't dip the banner now. Let's don't give up the battle now. Let's be faithful now. Oh, listen, I don't know. I think I told y'all this. When I was in Valdosta, Georgia, I don't believe, Timmy, you ever met this man. He came to church for a little while. He's just kind of new in the area, and I don't know where he ever ended up. But I got to talk to him. He was in World War II. He was one of the first guys to cross the Rhine River, and he was a machine gunnist. He said they got over, they crossed, had a little group of them, went across, and they got in the heart of Germany, crossed the Rhine River. And he said it was evident after a while that they were surrounded. They couldn't win. They couldn't get out. And so the captain, they'd already lost a lot of men. He said, guys, we got to retreat. We got to get out of here. But if we try to flee right now, we'll all get killed. And he said he asked for two volunteers, two of the machine gunnists. Would you be willing to stay and let us go? And you know what he said? This guy, he said, I'll do it. He said, I'll be faithful. I'll be faithful. So y'all can go free. I'll be faithful. And he said, they got in a little pill box thing there, he and another guy not far apart. And he said, they began to fire into the night. You could hear the Nazis all out there, and they were just shooting everywhere and everything. And he said the commanding officer and the troops retreated and went back, got back with the main line. And he said they were shooting. He said we were down, didn't hardly have any rounds of ammunition left whatsoever. And he said, I thought, sure, it's just going to be a matter of time before they overrun us and we'll be killed immediately. And he said then over in a little area, he heard somebody speaking loudly in the German language. And coming, and he thought, I'll have to get my revolver. I have to take a bayonet. I have to get him something. And he said he heard that voice. And as he got closer, he said, it's German language, but I recognize that voice. And he said a few minutes, his commanding officer stepped out of the shadows and said, guys, let's go. They're safe. I'm coming to take you to the place of safety. And he said our commander had come back through enemy lines to take us safely out. Can I tell you one thing? I will be faithful. You know why? Because the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And when he comes, I want to find me firing away. I want to be faithful till the end. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Will you stand? I want to tell you right now, he's coming back just the nick of time. Every man in this building, you have a great heritage behind you of great soldiers of the cross. I think this morning, Stacy Stewart's here, and Jimmy Hall's here, and all these others are here. Chris is here this morning. Lynetta's here. So many of the veterans that stood a while ago, Dallas and others, in this building. Oh, listen, there are young men now who are following behind these great men and women, and they're on the front lines now, and they're following the heritage of these. Their sacrifice must not go wasted. Their surrender and those who died for this country must not go wasted. That's why day by day there are young men and women who still step up and say we'll defend what they've already bought with their blood. My dear friend, you and I who are Christians are to step up to do the same thing. What the faithful saints of God in days gone by have bought with their blood of the martyrs, you and I must not fail and be derelict in our duty to be faithful till Jesus comes. How many of you here this morning while your head's bowed and your eyes closed and say, Brother Billy, I'm a Christian. And this morning, I want to raise my hand to the Lord and say, God, I want to be a good soldier of the cross. I want to be faithful. I want to read the Word of God. I want to live a life. I want to be faithful to the house of God. I want to be a faithful soldier till Jesus comes. Would you raise your hand, not to me, but to the Lord, and just tell him how much you love him and thank him. God bless you this morning. You may put your hands down. Just before we pray, can I ask you a question? You live in a free land because somebody died for you. You enjoy the freedoms that you have because somebody died for this freedom. But there's another land, it's called heaven. And you can live in that land as well because somebody died for you. His name is Jesus. If you're here this morning, boys or girls, man or woman, you've never been saved. You don't know for sure that heaven's your home. These all died in faith. They had a desire for a better country. That's called heaven. They're there now, awaiting us. And when it said that they without us should not be made perfect, that means complete, that we're part of that crowd too. And there'll be a day when all the saints of all the ages are gathered around the throne of the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, and we'll cast our crowns at his feet and we'll give him glory. I want to be found faithful. My dear friend, you can be part of that crowd. You can know that heaven's your home just as surely as this young truck driver down in Montgomery, Alabama last Sunday trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You could do it today. Right now, if you don't know for sure you're saved, but you'd say, Brother Billy, please pray for me. Would you raise your hand in this auditorium this morning and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved and heaven's my home. Young or old, raise your hand. We might remember you in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to move among this people. God, don't let anybody leave here lost today. I pray right now they trust Christ.